Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, you got to pick one. You got however much money you're comfortable placing on one big wager, and you got to pick one. And obviously, the odds would be different on different guys. You know, the chances of Framber Valdez winning a Cy Young different than the chances of Joe Espada winning Manager of the Year. But let's just say, you know, you got to be comfortable you're going to win some money. Who would you place? If you had to, just knowing you had to win the bet, however much it is, which Astro, either coaching staff or player, would you place money on to win a postseason award as of right now?
I think you and I are aligned probably in how we would power rank this. The guy I've been most impressed by since he moved to the leadoff role has been Jeremy Peña. Mm-hmm. And when healthy, he's been one of the best players in baseball wins above replacement and whatnot.
Yep.
And yet, Aaron Judge is being annoyingly Aaron Judge-like.
Yeah. We live in a world with Aaron Judge in the American League and Shohei in the National League. Like, nobody's winning the MVPs in either league other than
Let's remember that, that it's a regular season award, everybody. Correct. It doesn't matter that Aaron Judge is going to fall apart in the playoffs. It just doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's, I would put him as probably the last. Like, he's the least likely to win one of these awards.
Well,
if his award is MVP, I think he's probably least likely to win it.
I agree. I 100% agree with you. And he's going to end up missing at least a month of the season once this is all said and done, too. That's an absolute. He had an uphill climb, even if he were playing at the level he was playing at healthy through the last 3-4 weeks. That hasn't been the case. He's at the bottom for me as well. I would say the next. There's five people that have a chance. Okay, we got the two guys at the top of the rotation in Framber and Hunter. Joe Espada, Manager of the Year. Cam Smith, Rookie of the Year. And then Peña, MVP. Seth and I went through some ESPN rankings yesterday, some metric that they've come up with that combines wins above replacement, a lot of the advanced stats. And all of these guys are top 4 or 5 right now in the American League to win these respective awards. Cam Smith has not an equally uphill battle as Peña, because A, Cam Smith is healthy, and B, there's no rookie that's having a year that's as dominant versus other rookies as Aaron Judge is having versus everybody else for the MVP. And Cam Smith's made up a ton of ground at Rookie of the Year, but Jacob Wilson's going to be really tough to catch with the Athletics.
As of right now, Cam Smith is the favorite for Rookie of the Year.
What?
In the AL, at least according to whoever ESPN is citing. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, ESPN bet. ESPN is citing ESPN bet, okay, where Cam Smith is the favorite.
I take it all back. All right.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Well,
ahead of Jacob Wilson and Nick Hertz. Which that's too close to Dick Hertz for my liking, but so he is, as of 3 days ago, and assuming nothing has changed during the All-Star break, Cam Smith is the favorite.
They are going in different directions. Look, Jacob Wilson's going to get a lot of shine because he got voted in to start the All-Star game. He's got a higher profile than Cam Smith right now, but Cam Smith is coming on in that category. And Cam Smith, unlike Jacob Wilson, is going to be playing in a lot of important games in all likelihood down the stretch. The A's are going to be an afterthought. Nobody's going to be watching A's games. And they're going in different directions right now. Jacob Wilson was off to a white hot start at the beginning of the season, and has, you know, understandably kind of the numbers have dropped a little bit. Whereas Cam Smith has gotten better and better as the year's gone on. Like middle of May, Cam Smith was batting in the low 200s before he went 0-for-10 to kind of close out the figurative first half of the season. Like, he had a bad series over the weekend against. Who do they play? I know they played the Guardians early in the week, and they played who they played going into the break. Oh, the Rangers. He had a bad Rangers.
You're talking about the Astros.
I'm talking about Cam Smith. He had a bad Rangers series. Still batting in the high 270s. Still batting well over 300 since whatever date you want to cherry pick in May. OPS has been good. The power numbers are gonna come along at some point here. That may be the part I'm most excited about with Cam Smith, Seth, is that. We know he's got raw power. It hasn't translated into a ton of home runs yet, but you feel like at any time, especially given the way he's just gotten the science of hitting down at the major league level, just purely hitting, is that eventually the power is going to be there, and maybe there's a September where Cam Smith hits like 7 or 8 bombs in important games in September. We know the clutch gene is there. He's the best hitter on this team with runner in scoring position, too. I think that's big.
The craziest thing about Cam Smith is that he's one of the best right fielders defensively in baseball right now.
Okay.
He's in the 88th percentile of range and arm strength, and he's done so well in right field after kind of a break-in period. He's got 3 outs above average. It's his run value is 1. It's not like incredibly Gold Glove type stuff or anything. But he's for a guy who's played a total of 4 games in the outfield in his playing career, and that was in summer league and left field.
Yeah.
He's a veteran out there in right field. You feel good about him being out there.
When again, we're just asking him to win Rookie of the Year, not MVP. You know, he doesn't have to be through the. Now it would help if he's through the roof in either offensively or defensively. But I like the way he's trending for sure. Okay, so I had Cam Smith the second least likely of the 5. The odds makers, purely the odds makers you're looking at, are making me think I need to bump him at the very least ahead of the 2 pitchers, Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown, for the Cy Young Award. It is just such a tough American League when it comes to starting pitch. I mean, Framber Valdez didn't make the All-Star team, and they've won his last 13 starts. He's won 9 straight decisions. They've won 13 straight games that he's been the starting pitcher in right now. And the guy didn't make the freaking All-Star team. It is a tough sledding at that position.
They are on ESPN Bet has Hunter Brown as the fourth at 15-1, and then Framber is 6th, but it's at 50-1.
I kind of like that value.
Yeah,
Framber. I mean,
oh, that's true. Yeah, Framber really pours it on.
I mean, he's not missing the All-Star game because he doesn't deserve to be there. I think he didn't make the All-Star team just because there's too many good guys. And he got off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. And I think first impressions when it comes to stuff like that is more important than the most recent impressions. You know, that's
plus based on nothing but visiting announcers and national broadcasters, they annoyingly still refer to him as a guy that will have,
blow-ups
and meltdowns from time to time, which is just... It's been years now where he's been pretty damn consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, once he went on that consecutive streak of quality starts, he's been a different guy than the early version of Framber Valdez, and yet that perception remains. Skubal is the favorite, and you know what I've noticed about Skubal lately, Sean? Anything that looks like that word, I cannot stop. I cannot get Liam Cohen's Duval out of my head. Skubal.
Yeah.
And I tried to do Duval the proper way the other day, and it took me a while to work into it. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what it was like, how you actually do it.
No. I'm not letting you do that.
I'm a guy who used to live in Duval County.
I know you did. No, this is the new way it's being said, Ben. Again. We got to pound this again. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I've got $315. I've got $350 in unclaimed funds in the Duval County database. Yeah.
Is Ben pounding this hockey making you more or less likely to bother and going and getting that $350? Because the word Duval is going to be on your brain that whole time.
No, I'm not going to go get that $300. No, I have to at some point. But it's the documents they need are ones that are so far out of my reach that I...
Yeah, you talked about that.
I got to really set down. I got to create a list of manageable action items that I can just click off one by one, because I'm going to have to go in and send a letter to the department, to the Secretary of State for an LLC that I used to own and all this stuff. I don't know.
Oh, wow. So this definitely
is worth it, man.
This definitely isn't something you can outsource to Brandy to go do. It sounds like
she would probably do it. I don't know. She'd probably tell me, like, why can't you do it? Yeah.
I think the easiest one on this topic. Joe Espada, Manager of the Year. If I'm forced, gun to my head, I've got to win the bet. Doesn't matter what the odds are. I just have to win the bet. Joe Espada, Manager of the Year. I mean, look, if they keep playing the way they did in the first half, if they keep doing it in the second half, and look, he's going to be asked to do this, Seth, at least for the foreseeable future still, without any of these guys that were on the injured list going into the All-Star break. You know, we've got no estimate for a return time for Jeremy Peña, you know, other than things are moving in the right direction. Yordan Alvarez, the last report on him is like, yeah, he's going to come back, but he might not be Yordan when he comes back. You know, I don't know what exactly is being intimated with that, but He's going to be playing through some things if and when he comes back. These pitchers, I have banking on a return date for anybody that brushed up against Tommy John surgery with the Astros is pure folly. Even though, you know, things with Javier are going great right now. We've seen this before. There's setbacks. And even Spencer Arrighetti sure is coming back slowly from a broken thumb back in April. I mean, it's July and he hasn't had a rehab start yet.
The only thing I could hope is that they're having learned from the experience with Yordan and others in the past that they're caution. Just taking it super slow. The Astros have the fifth best ERA in baseball. The absence of Arrighetti hasn't destroyed them, obviously, as a pitching staff. So I think hopefully they've just said, hey, let's steady as she goes. We're going to be very, very careful here and not tempt fate. I know it's just a broken bone, but the muscles of the hand and everything take a long time to come back and work properly together. So they're just being very, very careful.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Texter says, do you not remember the second half of 2023 for Fromber? That's why the perception remains. No, I remember it. I'm just kind of going by what he's done this year. Like he was 1-4 with an ERA of nearly 5. And I don't think through that start, and maybe I'm just being biased about this because I like Framber Valdez. I never got the sense that through that slow start, he was melting down like he has in years past. Like he got his stuff together. And he's been one of the winningest pitchers in baseball since May. I mean, bad Fromber still probably exists in there, so, you know, a little bit somewhere. It's just a matter of suppressing it and keeping it quelled down for the Astros. Espada Manager of the Year, bank it, somebody says. Someone's saying Josh Hader. I don't have Reliever of the Year as one of the main awards. It's not. And you know, I think Rolaids used to give out the Fireman of the Year award. I don't think Reliever of the Year. Now, I did say this, Seth, when Josh Hader was on his tear through the first part of the season, and he's been really good. He's blown one save. He had a rough week leading into the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But before that, when he was 25 for 25, really no blemishes on his record this year, my thought was if Hader keeps doing this, I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young because there's just too many great starting pitchers, but I thought he would get votes for the Cy Young. I thought some people would have him fourth or fifth on their ballot.
As far as the second half of 2023, I guess my issue there was I think he just wasn't pitching well in general.
Yeah.
He had so many games where he allowed 5 or 6 runs, and it was a stretch of them. It wasn't like a meltdown on one particular day after having pitched a couple of shutouts in previous appearances.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bad second half of the season.
Yep. Circling back to Dave Portnoy being hired by Fox to do Big Noon Saturday, a lot of people weighing in on the text page on that, 713-572-4610. It's simple. McAfee is likable. Portnoy is not. I agree with that. I mean, there's some people that McAfee rubs the wrong way just because he's got a loud personality.
Or too much energy.
And, yeah,
he's a little too hyper, whatever it might be. But he doesn't have an aggressively abrasive personality.
Right, he's
where,
not a heel.
You know, if McAfee rubs you the wrong way, it's because you just don't like his vibe.
Yeah.
Whereas Portnoy, specifically, he wants to make you angry. Like,
yes.
He's going to be combative and insulting and all that. Yeah, I think I understand that person's point.
Brilliant decision by Fox. Somebody's saying their shows will crush and Big Noon will dominate. I don't think Big Noon's going to dominate. If you were to ask me right now who's going to win in the ratings, it'll still be College Game Day because this is... It's Coca-Cola. This is like Pepsi trying to do something where you're like, oh yeah, it'll get some buzz for them, but people are still going to view Coca-Cola as the standard. I do think that the shows that they put during the week, Monday through Friday, I'm very interested to see how those do against the Barstool shows they put on Monday through Friday do against Get Up and First Take. You know,
yeah.
They
you
cut into them at all.
I'm actually glad you brought up the Cola Wars because earlier on during a break, we were talking about how, man, sometimes the thing you don't want to happen happens and it ends up being, or you make a mistake and it ends up actually being really good in the long term. So the Cola Wars, Pepsi did these blind taste tests. Kids, this was the kind of stuff we cared about back in the 80s. Yeah. Pepsi did a blind taste test and put them on TV and it turned out that, boy, Americans actually preferred the taste of Pepsi over Coke in blind taste tests. A lot of times people are really surprised that like Pepsi more. And Pepsi, after generations of Coca-Cola dominating the cola market, Pepsi started to gain a lot of ground. So Coke, they panicked and they came up with New Coke. A new formula. They made it a little bit sweeter. They rolled it out and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. And people were wondering, oh my gosh, I got Pepsi actually pulled it off. And then you know what happened? Coke said, all right, okay, we screwed up. How do we fix this? We're going to go back to the old formula and we're going to call it Classic Coke. And all of a sudden, people's nostalgia got the better of them and they appreciated Classic Coke after declaring how much they hated New Coke, and Coke vaulted back up to having the premier spot.
Yeah.
So the lesson being, you never know what the hell's going to happen. And that's how I look at it with Dave Portnoy. I'd be a moron to sit here and act like I know exactly how it's going to go. I think it's a classic boomer bust situation. Just like one of his co-panelists, Urban Meyer, at Jacksonville,
yeah,
for the Jaguars. I thought it was going to be boom or bust. I didn't know it was going to be that big of a bust.
Right.
But there's no way to predict how it's going to go. And I think likewise with Dave Portnoy.
Do you think you'll enjoy that show? Do you think you'll enjoy it? I
don't watch a lot of pregame television. Other than I like the 5 minutes before the game when they really lay everything out.
Yeah.
But I don't tend to like the... I don't like, especially in college.
Okay, I guess
there's so little actual football discussion.
So for you, someone who doesn't, and that's fine, like someone who doesn't watch college games, you know, you don't spend 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. watching previews for the entire day of college football. Does this make you more inclined to go get the remote and put Fox on that morning?
I'll watch it.
Out of curiosity, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'll watch it out of curiosity. Yeah. And but I also, I think for the same, if it works out really well in the ratings for Dave Portnoy, I think it'll be more of the stuff that I don't really enjoy in the pregame.
Yeah.
I don't want either a debate show or a whole bunch of confrontation or anything. I'm just and it's not that it's bad or good. That's not what I enjoy.
I can't wait.
In the pregame, I'm kind of like, I just want to think about the actual football stuff and the relevant things.
And it's a Saturday morning too. So it's like, man, I just kind of want to lay out, you know? I don't need my brain to get pounded. All right. Speaking of brains getting pounded, does a physical threat to somebody on a podcast constitute anything that is actionable by the authorities? We will play some audio here of one particular podcast personality threatening another one, former athletes going at it.
And I know that the potential victim here is totally a guy I would expect to test
the courts. Yes. We'll have some excellent audio for you coming up next.
Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.